This is an
Get In
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter's nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Welcome, welcome, and welcome to ENN on a Wednesday evening. We'll start off tonight by saying good evening to Michael.
This is ridiculous.
And we'll say good evening to Don.
For the Yankees to beget Jared Cole.
Yeah, beget Jared Cole. I didn't even bring that up when it happened.
Jared Cole. For the Yankees to beget Jared Cole. By the way, nothing from Trey.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you serious?
Really?
That's a problem.
That is a problem.
So, clearly, there's an issue.
And you're not going to follow up.
No.
You're not going to say, hey.
I'm not a beggar. Listen, it's not worth it. Listen, he doesn't care, and I don't care.
You know what? It is worth it because he's an incredible guy to talk with text-wise.
I would beg to differ.
Peter, don't you enjoy your back and forth with Trey?
Oh, my God. Sometimes we text until the wee hours of the night. I won't even say what the subject matter is, but it's really good stuff.
Matter of fact, here, how about this? I'm going to go to Twitter right now.
Okay.
And
don't do it. Don't do what I think you're going to do. Please don't do it.
Punch in.
No, please don't do what I think you're considering.
Trey.
No. Don, this is rash.
That's a problem.
This is rash. Don't hit that button.
That's exactly what the dermatologist said.
Trey Wingo, who also, by the way, I just noticed, I don't follow.
Does he follow?
So that's the reason he can't DM you.
No, he doesn't
you.
Even know that. No, just that because deep down in my subconscious, I knew he wasn't worth following.
Now,
but
hold on.
If
hold
you
on,
don't
hold
follow
on.
Him, he can't DM you.
Hold on. Click on him, though, Don. Does he follow you?
No.
So he can't even DM you.
So that's the problem.
Boy, that speaks volumes.
We don't follow each other. All right,
that's a problem.
So you're going to follow him?
That was just a misstep on me. Yeah.
All right.
But it wasn't like he reached out to either of you and said, oh, by the way, Don's not following me. I can't DM him.
Maybe he was embarrassed to be such a star like Trey Wingo, a man who dressed like an old-timey gangster during the NFL draft.
Right. Like maybe he just Johnny Dangerously.
Great movie, Michael Keaton.
It's a very good movie.
Well, guys, as of this moment, we're expecting Major League Baseball again. That's right. Camps July 1st, supposedly. All right. The players and the league ironed out final details yesterday with a 60-game schedule in empty ballparks starting either July 23rd, known as my birthday, or July 24th. The regular season will feature both divisional and interleague play. Teams will play within their corresponding geographic divisions to lessen travel. 40 of the 60 games will be in that division. MLB said the majority of clubs are expected to conduct preseason in their home cities. Yankees and Dodgers reopened as 7-2 favorites to win the World Series. A lot of exciting things. Man on second in extra innings, guys. A DH in the NL. Exciting times. Jeff Passan was on with SVP, and he was asked, what will baseball do outside of a bubble to have enough players on the field?
Player texted me a couple of minutes ago saying, what happens if I test positive on the road? Do I just get to, like, hang out at the Four Seasons in this road city for a week and hang out and order room service? And, yeah, I think that's pretty much the answer. You know, the NBA and the NHL, if and when they do come back, have those questions taken care of, being in a bubble. Major League Baseball is going to be traveling. There are going to be bus trips. There are going to be plane trips. There are going to be hotel stays. There are going to be all these different disparate elements that are going to be difficult to contain.
Kenley Jansen of the Dodgers was on with George Sedano earlier, who's asked if he's worried about playing and getting COVID-19.
I'm not worried at all. You can live in a life
and be living in a fear, you know, world. I don't want to live my life being, you know, fear of something. You know, for sure, I'm going to be precautious about things, make sure I wash my hands. If I'm in a clubhouse, just keep my distance and all that stuff. But health-wise, I think I'm fine. I think I feel great. You know, thank God. You know, I don't have no issues on my heart no more. But I'm tired of fearing this virus.
It's going to be so odd. There are some things that are ingrained in baseball. Guy hits a walk-off home run. There's going to be nobody there to congratulate him at home plate. Guy pitches a perfect game. The catcher and the pitcher can't even leap into each other's arms. It's going to be so odd.
Yeah, but we'll get used to it. Don't used to everything else.
And there'll probably be some sort of middle ground of some sort that we're not aware of yet.
Do we know the media situation yet, Michael?
Yeah, the one thing I heard was that writers will be allowed at the ballpark. I don't know if there's a limit on it, but everybody has to be out of the ballpark an hour after the last pitch. There are some writers that take really a long time to write, and they're going to be people writing in their cars. That's all there is to it, because they're going to be asked to leave the ballpark an hour after the last pitch.
I'm assuming,
and I think a lot of the interviews are going to be done via screen, you know, because somebody will be brought to a screen and you'll ask questions that way, like a Zoom thing.
Yeah, because you won't be allowed in the clubhouse.
Yep.
Now, I'm assuming they have to be out of there an hour after, because I guess they're going to scrub down the press room, right?
I don't know the reason for it.
Well, that would be the only reason, right? I mean, so that people aren't there all night waiting to clean it up. I would hope if I'm a media member in that press box that it is thoroughly cleaned after every game. So that has to be the reason. I can't imagine there being any other, right?
I really don't know. I'm sure that has something to do with it. And also, there are no fans leaving. So as long as the ballpark's open and people are in it, you still have to have security in it. I'm sure there's cost-cutting measures to it as well.
The Lakers' Avery Bradley has opted out of the Orlando restart.
Mm-hmm.
He'd started 44 games this season. Now, this is a quality player on a championship contender. He told Woj on Tuesday that he informed management of the decision. And at the forefront was the choice to remain with his family and the well-being of his oldest child, Liam, who has a history of struggling to recover from respiratory illnesses. It's unlikely that he would have been cleared to go inside the Orlando bubble, his son, that is. So Bradley decided he's going to stay with his family.
And they're going to give a call to an old friend, correct?
It looks like the Lakers are eyeing LeBron's old friend.
Yes.
Depending on the day. J.R. Smith.
I actually am privy to that conversation.
Okay.
So LeBron said to J.R., I think we're going to bring you aboard now that Avery Bradley is not going to play. And J.R. said, timeout. You want me to play? And LeBron goes, now you call timeout?
Beautiful. Beautiful.
You know, you were mentioning about perfect games and walk-off home runs.
That was a perfect line.
It was.
Thanks.
How about the champion in all these sports?
Yeah.
Not, you know, jumping the goaltender in the NHL, NBA, getting together and, you know, celebrating.
Dog pile in baseball.
I mean, confetti will come down and around a bunch of guys just standing there, waving to each other.
We'll see if it's like that by the time they get to a championship.
Well, I was also thinking, too, with it being the last game and basically the hub in the other two sports in baseball, like with the season being over, would the players just say, all right, forget it?
No, because then you're going home to your family.
But at that point, you're talking about October. Maybe by then, you know, everybody's been – if everybody's
tested. That's a different story. But, I mean, if it's the – as we are today, I don't think that they're going to do that.
Because that's part of the fun of watching teams celebrate, right?
You might have to get the celebration fun out of your head. Charlie Blackman of the Rockies becomes the first major league player known to have tested positive for COVID-19, according to multiple reports that we know of.
That's the known part that Peter said.
Thank you, Don. I really appreciate you backing me up there.
Carlin, by the way, tells us on text that the maximum is 35 media members.
That feels
which
like
I don't understand what they're going to do. The Yankees have a very big press box for the media, but it's not big enough to have 6 feet between every media member. So players are going to be sitting in the stands. I guess media members will be sitting in the stands.
Yeah, why not? You have plenty of room.
Yeah, sit anywhere you want.
It's actually, I got to tell you, it might be pretty fun for the media. Because, like, you have the people you like that you generally hang out with, and you guys can kind of all sit in the same section, but, you know, apart from each other.
Well, like, I don't know where we're doing the games yet, but let's say we do the games, the home games at Yankee Stadium. I don't know. Nothing's been settled. One thing that I don't like, and it's going to make me sound awful, when you're an announcer for a home team, people think that that booth is a gathering spot. Come in, talk. They don't realize you're working because, you know, they're having a good time at a ball game. So people are coming up to the press box and they just walk in. Well, now I'm going to put a lock on the door. Absolutely no admittance whatsoever into this room.
I have spoken to people about this, Michael, because that is a major issue, even like for the Ranger games. It's just, yeah, it's amazing. And this is no disrespect to anybody in particular, because maybe I'm guilty of it too, because I'll go to the road announcers and pop in and say hi, but it's like a revolving door. Like, everybody just comes in to say hello, and those booths are as great as Yankee Stadium is, Michael. It's not like it's overly spacious.
No, nobody's being in. It would be like if your dad worked on the assembly line at a Ford plant in Detroit, and you just walked in and pulled up in a chair and started talking to him. No, we're working. Get out.
I also think, Michael, just from being in the booth, then I don't think you're going to have two analysts. I think you would just have one, because you can't be socially distant with a third announcer.
Well, if we're going to do games at the stadium, again, it's up in the air, there will be no visiting team announcers at the ballpark. So the plan is for either me to be in the yes booth or the visiting booth alone, and then David would be in the other booth alone, and there'd be a glass between us. We'd be in different rooms. And if there's a third announcer, he would be zoomed in, I think.
And what about Meredith?
Meredith's job is going to have to be redefined, because I guess she can interview somebody on the field, but they're going to have a boom mic. She can't be very close to him. She can't work the clubhouse and get the information she always does, which she's so great at. It's going to be interesting to see what a Meredith and a Steve Gelbs get to do.
I would think that just envisioning the way life has been, like the Yankee post game, I would think would be Yankees win. Meredith would have a boom mic and interview the player from 6 feet away. I've seen it in NASCAR where the driver's interviewed and the interviewer is holding a boom mic and is like 6-7 feet away.
Right. I think that part of her job, that
right. And then the post game press conference is probably going to be like for yes. And I'm just guessing. I could correct me if I'm wrong. It'll pop up kind of like a Zoom meeting.
It
where
will be a Zoom thing. Like,
what's that?
Aaron Boone would sit in his office, and it would be Zoomed. And the same thing with players.
There would be a certain amount of player. Like, Boone would be there. I guess there would be whoever is on that call, so their faces would be seen, and they'll ask questions. I guess Meredith would ask the first question, as the tradition, so you'll see her. And then the players will be brought into, I guess, a podium situation, or they'd be zoomed in as well.
They would be zoomed in. It's going to be a different world, the way stories are written, the writers. And, you know, a Meredith and a Steve Gelb, they get their information for the pregame show by talking to people in the locker room. You know, just starting a conversation, what's going on. That information is not going to be available, because you're not going to have any interaction with the players. None.
Unless there's some kind of lessening of like restrictions as far as like communicating with players via like a phone call. Like, what could Meredith or Steve have the access to call like certain players and talk to them while they're in the clubhouse to ask them a certain question? Or would there be some sort of access? Because you got
to
broadcast.
It's a good question, Don, but I got to tell you, and I don't mean this in a bad way, and I hope it's not taken away. Players despise talking to the media. This is a good thing for them. They're not going to go out of their way to get the phones to talk to people. If they don't have to talk to the media, that eliminates the worst part of their job.
But I would think, obviously the phone thing might be a little bit of a Hail Mary, but couldn't just there be availability? Like, all right, Meredith could say, can you get me Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton, and let me talk to them in a Zoom call or a social distance just outside the rooms, because I have a few questions to ask? Or, I mean,
if the team still has like a social media person around, which presumably they will, who's able to be in close quarters with the players, there is a world in which they have a phone that they sterilize and they could hold up, and you could Zoom an interview, you know, with a player. Could be cool.
If it's done, we'll see.
So, Brooks Koepka, beautiful Brooksy, as he's known. He's also out from the Travelers after his caddy tested positive for COVID-19 on Wednesday. So this is something we talked about. Things started off pretty good for PGA. Now we've seen two players and now a caddy. Here's Jay Monahan, the PGA commissioner, on learning to live with the virus.
So I think for us, as we look at where we are now 3 weeks in and on the eve of our first round at the Travelers Championship, I think we all need to remind ourselves that we're all learning to live with this virus, and we all need to learn to live with this virus, both as individuals, as family members, and certainly within our businesses. And it's pretty clear that this virus isn't going anywhere.
Also, Monahan says that they knew they wouldn't be able to eliminate risk completely.
We have been working since March to develop a comprehensive health and safety plan that would be considered a best practice among professional sports leagues. While we've been thorough in building and implementing a program that mitigates as much risk as possible, we knew it would be impossible to eliminate all risk, as evidenced by the three positive tests this week. We need to use these developments as a stark reminder for everyone involved as we continue to learn from an operational standpoint. We're making several adjustments to our health and safety plan, as noted in the memo sent to players this morning, and we will continuously reinforce to all players, caddies, staff members, and support personnel on property at PGA Tour events to adhere to social distancing and other safety protocols that further minimize risk.
Minimize risk, it's the goal, and with a lot of sports in Florida, one that's been going on for quite a while would be professional wrestling. Both WWE and AEW are taped in Florida, and now today a story has broken that multiple WWE staffers, including in-ring talent, have tested positive for COVID-19. The number they're saying is 3. But, you know, it's kind of a scary thought. Last week, for example, on TV, filmed at the Performance Center, Ric Flair was there. I mean, Ric Flair is like a walking advertisement for pre-existing conditions. He's older. He's had a lot of health issues. We almost lost him a couple of years ago. And he's been on TV the last couple of weeks. So it worries me, for sure. And it's, you know, it's... We're watching the numbers spike in Florida, and I don't have in front of me, I'm trying to find them, the percentage of positives. But you're just seeing, I mean, I think yesterday's positive total was the highest in the country since April 25th. So maybe it's just because of an abundance of testing, but either way, those are positive results that exist.
Florida has the third most new cases today. California's first with 7149, Texas 5551, Florida 5511. And the fourth is a big drop, Arizona, 1795. All new cases. I don't know the percentage. Can't find that.
You really do wonder about New York as a potential option. I mean, if not only because we've done such a good job here, but also you're talking about a place where it just seems that, for the most part, you know, we've seen the videos of people hanging out on St. Mark's and things like that, but for the most part, people seem to really follow it.
Because we've been through it.
Yeah, it seems to have become, I think for 90-some percent of the population, it's just a way of life. People
In the country, Peter, the positive test rate is 7.7%. Yesterday it was 6.4. On June 17th in the country, it was 4.9. Overall in the country, there are 39,000 newly reported cases. That's a record high. Reported deaths, though, 702. Yesterday was 773. On June 17th, it was 778. So that has gone down, thankfully.
New York City Marathon canceled, guys. Don't know if you're surprised by that.
No, kind of expected it.
Scheduled for November 1st, canceled because of COVID. Malcolm Brogdon of the Pacers has tested positive for COVID, says he's doing well, feeling fine and progressing. But... And plans to join the restart in Orlando once he's cleared. And lastly, the Knicks did actually finally hire Worldwide West, a.k.a. William Wesley, as an executive VP. He's known for his connections throughout basketball. We know about his relationship with Leon Rose, and now it's official. He's a part of the Knicks as an executive.
And other big news, Peter.
Go ahead.
Leon Rose spoke for the first time. They've hired him, what, months ago, and Mike Breen had an interview with him for MSG, and I believe that Chris Carlin's going to have a lot of that on his show tonight. So the first time Leon Rose will give his take on the roster and the coaching search and stuff like that. First time he's spoken.
So people can hear that if they listen to Carlin tonight?
Yes.
You know what? It's fantastic. And I'm driving to Maryland. I'm going to be listening to Carlin.
Carlin.
Big fan. That'll do it for ENN on this Wednesday evening.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway, to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claim service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.